via a video and kind of captioning it, saying, "We will not kneel down." So a sharp rebuke on President Trump's trade war. China's foreign ministry posted a video on their social media official, striking some remarks, you know, saying in no uncertain terms that the international community, along with China, should stand up to the US's bullying tactics and its bully leader. Strong words, very strong words. Geopolitical analyst online, Emmanuel Matambo, good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you and your listeners. Thank you for the invitation.
Great to have you on, Emmanuel. This is certainly a very interesting topic indeed, despite the fact that it's a May Day, Workers' Day, public holiday all around, and things are relatively quiet. But many kind of get the impression that the U.S. tariff trade wars have simmered down in the background, whereas in reality, it hasn't.
Indeed, the tariff wars have not really simmered down. I think it is just because most of the countries that were given that 90-day reprieve by Donald Trump are not voicing their displeasure at his very whimsical imposition of tariffs. But when it comes to the U.S.'s trade war with China, that is still in a very simmering state, so to say, because these are the two biggest economies. They are very crucial to the global economy, not only to their domestic markets. So on that front, we have seen that there is actually an escalation with Donald Trump trying to show that he is actually showing signs of wavering, because just last week he said the Chinese were reaching out to him and that there were backdoor negotiations, an allegation that the Chinese flatly discredited and refused.
Yes, indeed. Now, Emmanuel, the U.S. obviously threatened with up to 245%. Beijing retaliated, saying 125%. If the United States continues this trend of just escalating, we will ignore. And then we saw Chinese President Xi Jinping embarking on state visits to Cambodia, Vietnam, Malaysia, etc., etc. Literally an area that China has had good relations with over the years, but we're kind of getting the impression that this was to solidify its partnerships. Cambodia, Vietnam, Indonesia, Malaysia, etc., etc. Then we heard about this fake news and the false accusations where Trump was quoted as saying, yeah, the Chinese have come and we're busy negotiating. And when this became public knowledge, the Chinese said there's no such thing. And then, you know, this back and forth kind of just making statements, but it's going to catch up to you.
When it comes to China reaching out to countries that it did not historically have a stable relationship with, it is not only Vietnam, Cambodia, and Malaysia. It has also reached out to the European Union. And then referring to the video that you spoke about at the beginning, you hear that in that video, China mentions how the United States' bullying tactics have actually led to the collapse of companies such as Alstom in France and Toshiba in Japan.
Yes.
That is an indirect way of China extending an olive branch, so to say, to Japan, to France as well, to make them realize that the United States is not a predictable partner and that its bullying tactics are actually proving to be a danger, not only to China, despite China suffering the most when it comes to the hike of these tariffs. And coming back to the United States itself, yes, there are really signs that the United States is probably panicking a little bit, because if you compare the political system of the United States and the political system of China, the political system of China is such that the Chinese government can easily reallocate its resources to cushion the impact that these tariffs will have on domestic supply, on domestic consumption. That might not be the case in the United States, where the government is a neoliberal government, markets do as they please. A lot of markets such as Walmart, for example, Target, they rely on imports from China. They rely on imports from Vietnam. So the impact might actually be bad for the United States. And that is why it is not a surprise that we have seen that there is a tanking, so to say, of Donald Trump's approval ratings. What is makes it even worse is that the United States is even antagonizing its closest allies such as Canada and the European Union.
Now, I'm looking at some of the comments coming from the Chinese Foreign Ministry, extracted, Emmanuel, from this video, which I'm sure you've seen. And I was very intrigued by this video because some strong statements were being made by the Chinese Foreign Ministry. China portrays itself, according to the video, as a free trade haven with which no other countries, you know, would have to be concerned about. In opposition to how the United States have portrayed itself. China says we will stand firm no matter how hard the wind blows. Someone has to step forward, torch in hand, shatter the fog, illuminate the path going forward. And China called on every nation to stand tall and to break through the walls of hegemony. Very strong statements, but they are backing it up with action.
If you look at that video, the imagery of that video stems from the patriotism that China has felt right from the time that it was founded in 1949. And it also speaks to a certain negative perception that China has had over countries such as the United States that have historically sought to keep it down. On the 1st of October 1949, when Chairman Mao proclaimed the People's Republic of China, he said, "The Chinese people have stood up." So that video, to use words, the Chinese people are not going to, we will not kneel down. That is more like a continuation of this sense of patriotism that China has always felt since the beginning. And that is why if you look at local manufacturers in China itself, they have whipped up a certain patriotic zeal to say, well, we're actually ready to have our manufactured goods stranded for now, just so that we do not back down to the United States. And I think that is the impression that this video is trying to give to the United States and the rest of the world as well. And there will be actually some belief in China being a free trade haven to the rest of the world because, well, the United States is clearly forfeiting its own goodwill. It's clearly undermining the supply that it has had of its goods to the rest of the world through the utterances that come from President Donald Trump. Unfortunately, there seems to be no one in the White House who can actually stand up to Donald Trump and tell him directly about how counterproductive these issues are, because they have actually affected even his closest allies such as Elon Musk.
Yes, we spoke about Elon Musk and Tesla and Starlink taking a massive beating, hundreds of millions, which they've lost. And he's taking a step back from priorities that he's accepted and undertaken in the Oval Office to focus on Tesla and on his company, which has taken a massive beating. And the U.S. trade wars have played a major part there. But just going back to China, Emmanuel, this is the history of an ancient civilization. If we go back to China's recent history, the Tang Dynasty, early 6th century period, became a cosmopolitan society, opened up to the Persian Empire, opened up to the Islamic Empire, opened up to Africa through the Abyssinian Empire under King Negus, who was a just ruler, also super wealthy. China opened up at that time already to the so-called unknown world. They continued that trend in the Ming Dynasty period. And it was during this period, I'm kind of like seeing shades of the Ming Dynasty under the administration of Xi Jinping, because the Ming Dynasty employed Admiral Zheng He, who was a Chinese Muslim. He was the admiral of the Chinese Navy. He held power over 400 ships within his fleet. He connected Africa to the Ming Dynasty. He connected the Middle East to the Ming Dynasty. He connected Southeast Asia to the Ming Dynasty, the Indian subcontinent. And he brought the ambassadors of all these respective 30 countries that he interacted with on behalf of the Ming Dynasty to China. This we're seeing pretty much the same playbook, but it's an ancient civilization that for many reasons and all intentions and purposes during different periods went into a recluse, focused on itself. And when it saw the need to interact with the rest of the world, it made sure that whoever interacted with the civilization benefited. We're seeing the same playing out now.
If you look at China's very long history, the most prominent periods, especially in its economies, were the periods when China opened up to the rest of the world. Mm. The periods when China isolated itself, such as from 1949 to 1978, for example, these were periods of massive suffering. So the Chinese understand very well the benefits of having multilateral trade, and that is why they are very adamant even at the moment to say, well, even if the United States is proving not to be a reliable partner, we are not going to recoil and isolate ourselves from the rest of the world. We will still continue reaching out to even partners that are not traditionally friendly to us, such as Japan, the European Union, and Vietnam, for example. That is exactly what China is doing, and it is a long history, as you have said, of how China became prosperous when it reached out to the rest of the world.
Now, Emmanuel, what about Donald Trump being quizzed a couple of days ago, asked by the media as to what benefits have been accrued as a result of the U.S. trade tariff wars? He quipped immediately without verification that the U.S. economy is benefiting $2 billion daily, when the U.S. Commerce Department was then asked about this, they did some checking, and it revealed that the U.S. economy has not benefited more than $190 million. And there's a vast difference between $2 billion and $190 million.